All right, the Lord is good. If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
If God is very, very kind to you, say another amen.
Amen.
And believe me, no matter how you feel, God is kind. Amen? Yeah, He's kind. He's a good God. He's a good God. One of the major problems people have in life, all right, human beings, which we have generally, I have noticed, is that oftentimes we fear, we sin against God, but we fear the devil. I have noticed that and I just thought about it. We sin against God, but we fear the devil. So, and then some of us preachers, trying to explain how good God is, we get the impression that we don't speak well of Him if we say He does bad things. So God does not punish people. Israel has a very good friend who's a preacher who says that thing, that God never does anything. God will never, never do anything bad. And you see, as I go on today, I'm going to talk briefly about that. And that is not true, actually. God is a good God, but when you offend Him, you realize that God is a consuming fire. And I think we have to bear this in mind. It's very important for us believers, especially when we pray, we have to bear it in mind that the devil is not our problem. Are you getting my point? What did I say?
The devil is not our problem.
Now, what we should concern ourselves about is how we are before our God. Let's just read this one. It might be good to help us to get the thing I'm trying to say, all right, correctly. Let's take that one from Job. There was something that Job said, that Elihu said. Very, very important. We get it clear. Job chapter 33, thereabout. Okay, Job chapter 35. Look at what he said from verse 8. And from verse 9, he said, because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out, he said, they cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives us songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the field, of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? He said, there they cry out, but He does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. He said, verse 13, surely God will not listen to an empty cry. That is such an empty cry. That's what he was trying to say. Now let me just stop here. I just read that one to point out something to us, that whatever happens in life, the first thing we should say is what? Where is God my maker? Now people say that the devil is the one doing everything. Please, I beg to differ. The devil doesn't have that amount of power. Are you getting my point? They said that Jesus went around healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see, it was the devil. And I agree with that. That's what the scriptures say. But you must understand that Jesus was a personification of the mercy of God. You get my point? That is, when He appears, all right, then He's a sign that God is showing you mercy. And that's why a lot of people, even though Jesus was the personification of the mercy of God, Jesus could not do anything for them. The Bible says when he got to his own hometown, he could there do no mighty works. All right? Why? The people did not believe in him. Faith is a sign that you are pleading to God for mercy. They did not have faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he was unable to help them. And his inability to help them, all right, does not infer, therefore, that Satan is now more powerful than him, or that suddenly he lost the power he had against over the devil. The truth was that they did not reach to God for mercy. And when he did not reach to God for mercy, he therefore was not able to manifest that mercy that was found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to understand something here. The devil is not anybody's problem right now. We, especially those of us that are Christians, the devil is not our problem. Our problem is, where is God my maker? And God says something. It is not that my hand is too short so that I cannot deliver. No. It is that we have distanced ourselves from our God. There are a number of ways by which we do that, Christians. Number one, one major reason is that we don't attend to His word. We don't pay attention to what He's saying. You know, I was reading, you know, these days now, there's, everybody's afraid now. And let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something. Anytime everybody's afraid, you know, there's a commandment. Jesus doesn't give advice. He only gives commandments. Are you getting my point? God doesn't give advice. He gives what? Commandments. So when He says, you look up and rejoice, for your redemption draws near. You know what that means? It's a commandment to look up and rejoice. So when you wake up in the morning, everybody's running up and down because of Ebola. You stay in one place and dance and say, Lord, I thank you because victory is mine in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? Somebody, past six, I'm sure it happened to some of you. In fact, my own was that somebody woke me up in the morning and said, sir, please, that they say you should come and beat with salt. And this and this and that because of Ebola virus. Actually, it wasn't very early. This was like just past six. These days, I don't wake up very early. If I wake up very early, I go back to sleep unless I have to go somewhere that early. All right? So at that time, I don't know whether I woke up earlier, but I was still sleeping at past six. It is vain to rise up early, all right? So I was just sleeping. So when my phone was near my head, so it rang. I just turned, and on the screen I saw who was calling. I answered because he doesn't call me often. So I said, maybe it's an emergency. I did not know that people were bathing with salt water and sea water and cooking babies just to ensure that, They said, please, they said that you should bathe with salt water and this and that and that. I said, why? He said, because it will protect him against Ebola virus. I was waiting for the fact. I said, that's totally stupid. I said, it's a lie. I just said simply, it's a lie. And somebody, I said, it's a lie. My mother, let me go back and finish my sleep. There's a portion of sleep you must finish in the morning. So, I just told him simply, it's a lie. And I went to sleep. Of course, shortly after, I woke up again, picked my phone. My wife had gotten up, picked her phone, and was reading. Of course, she has beaten of my spirit. You understand my point? She has, like, my spirit. I just was just laughing. What is it? Say, people are saying they should beat with salt water because of Ebola virus. I said, what nonsense is all of this? Somebody not even added it. By the time I heard it, people are funny. By the time I heard it later in the day from my mother's mouth, my mom is in my house, it had changed. They had added sound 23 to it. Yes, they had added sound 23. And if you wait for another 24 hours, they will have added sound 91. If you watch long enough, it will reach the Revelations chapter 20. I'm telling you. Towards the end of the day, somebody at least claimed that she was the one that started it as a joke. I said, I didn't care whether you personally said it or not. But of course, one lady came and apologized that, look, it was a joke amongst her friends that she posted it on Naira Land. Yes. A young student in Federal University of Technology, Akure. A young lady. So she and her friends were playing. So they said, let's create a joke. And they posted it on Naira Land. If you know all these, chat rooms and all of that. That's what they call Naira Land. And she posted it there. To her surprise, in 12 hours, people were bathing, oh God. May God have mercy. What I enjoyed about it was that I didn't believe a word of it. I did not believe a word of it. I just said, this is arrant nonsense. That's how I just said, look, people say, my mother was telling me that, you don't believe such things. I say, movie, have you noticed I've never been wrong? Yes. He said that, all these things, you never believe. I said, have you noticed? I have not been wrong once. Including the day they said that Pastor E. Adeboye said they shouldn't wear red. That time she was not. She called me early in the morning that, around 8 o'clock, that please, have I heard what? That Pastor E. Adeboye said that people shouldn't wear red. I said, if I want to wear red, I said, Mommy, listen, if I want to wear red, I'm going to wait. So forget that one. He said, I know now. It's not because of you. It's because of my children, that I'm, my grandchildren. I said, they have gone to school. And if their school uniform contained red, you can be sure they will wear it. And I felt bad that day because there was no red inside their school uniform. She said early in the morning, before they left the house, I would have turned red cloth and put in everybody's pocket. Pocket chief. We are going to look nice in school. At the end of the day, Redeemed Christian Church of God had to release a statement that Pastor E. Adeboye never said any such thing. I told my mother, I said, you see, I'm never wrong. So, what have I not even heard? Someone said, the one that I heard that made me laugh. Let me not go there. Let me sit with my message. The Lord is good. Let me just tell you with my message. All right? Now, why did I even go into all of that? I'm talking about fear. People became afraid. And Christians, instead of praying the proper prayer, let me just say something to you. They say, devil, devil, devil. Let me tell you one more time. time, eh? It's not devil. Devil is only devil in as much as a man hanging somebody, you know, is a killer. Are you getting my point? But it's not the problem. It's the judge that said you shall be hung by the neck until you are dead. It's only devil in as far as a man who's administered lethal drugs to an American condemned prisoner is the devil. That's just the extent. That man cannot administer those drugs until a judge rules that that man should die. In that regard, it is the devil. But who is the judge? That's what I'm talking about. The devil is not the judge. I will say something to you, I'll say it clearly. So that when you want to pray, you pray properly. We have attacked the devil enough as if he's the problem. He is not the problem. I will tell you what the problem is. It is the sin and the iniquity of the people in the land. That is what the problem is. And listen, if we don't pray, listen. Oh Lord, how do I say this? I'm not trying to scare you. You notice something, if you're going to read the way judgment is in the scriptures, you will see from the north, you know, this is what happened. Boko Haram was coming down from the north. Then a plague is trying to come up from the south. Started from Lagos. Did you notice that? If you know how judgment comes, three prongs. The next one, it won't happen because that plague itself has to stop. All right? But so that we know how to pray. The third one is this, the earth will start opening. And let nobody lie to you that earthquakes can't happen in Nigeria. My message is that it's not the devil. What did I say? When I say it's not the devil now, what I mean is this. You cannot sit down and ask, you cannot sit down and say, devil, we want to fight you. You will win, you will lose that fight every single time. Because there's what the Bible calls the indignation of God. And when you want to tackle the indignation of God, you turn to God and ask him for mercy. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm not saying we'll sit down there and be suffering. I'm saying that Christians often miss their prayers don't work because it is targeted in the wrong direction. They wake up every day, devil, listen. In repentance and in rest, that is when you will be saved. We have to tell the truth. Two problems. One, Nigerians are, not only Nigerians, you understand, just because I am here. Are you getting my point? It's everywhere. Human beings, okay, let me be like that. They offend God every day. And occasionally they trigger his indignation. But we are the light of the world. And we are what? The salt of the earth. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So we have to, in that sense, when the salt, all right, loses its savor, that is, it's possible for the salt not to be doing its job. And I'm accusing a lot of us Christians today, we are losing our savor. Because the amount of iniquity that Christians also do. I'm not going to bring up something here. When you want to pray about all this calamity that's going on, please, I don't want all this fasting. Satan want to tell you, leave the devil for a while. Are you getting my point? What did I say? Leave him for a while. That guy is not as powerful as you think. He's not. When you want to pray, face the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy. It is when, listen, there was a time. I'll get to my message. There was a time, all right, that David sinned and decided to number Israel. And God sent a messenger to him that he should choose. This is my punishment. This is my indignation. Now, you are going to choose which one of the three. They are going to do the same thing. 3 years of famine. 3 months in the hands of your enemies. Or 3 days in my hands. And David thought, you know, he thought, said, God is merciful, so let's do something. Let us stay in his hands. After he said that, you know what he began to do? He began to intercede. Fighting the devil, no. But asking God for what? For mercy. And I'm saying that we as Christians can ask God for mercy for our land. And when we want to pray, that's what we should pray. I think all this one of all my enemies, we have this enemy mentality. What we should do is ask God for what? For mercy. And the man was there watching. 70,000 people died. Listen, I told you before, I spoke about that. At the point in time when he prayed and begged God that, listen, God, okay, even if I sinned, what these 70,000 people that you killed, none of them is me. Are you getting my point? Me, I'm still alive, the sinner. I said, this sheep that you are now slaughtering. A day and a half had passed at that particular point in time. And listen to this. And he lifted up his head and he saw the angel. That's what I want you to understand. He lifted his head and saw the angel with a sword drawn. God now told him to go and offer a sacrifice. Listen, the sacrifice that we offer today as Christians, every sacrifice, all right, ended when Jesus was offered on the cross. But we as believers have the power and the right now to invoke the power of that sacrifice. And we have to do it regularly. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So he now offered the sacrifice. And then the plague ended. I want to talk about the plague briefly. That plague, if scientists were there, they would have cultured the organism. They would have identified the virus. It is you and I that have seen angels. You understand? It's David that has seen angels. Scientists would have seen something else. And it would have been the same thing. That is, it is the sword of that angel that you have seen. Put under the microscope. You see the sword. The days of plague in South Africa, when John G. Lake and his men prayed, after some days, they were able to attain, that's what I'm going to make, they were able to obtain God's mercy for that land. At that time, God opened their eyes, and then they saw the spirits that were killing people. And they went and drove the spirits out of the place. And next day, the plague came down. So it was when they tapped into divine mercy. You must understand that. You cannot just blindly be fighting the devil. You must ask God for what? For mercy. Because if people don't realize, they don't realize that their sins are causing problems. The Lord is good. All right, but you see a connection between what I've said so far and last time, because I began to speak about this last time, that we must not take the name of the Lord our God in what? In vain. Let's not forget this. I just wanted to say something for a minute. I didn't know I was going to speak for this long. But listen to this. Okay, before we start, remember, we are filled with the knowledge of his will, if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
All right, declare to yourself, say, I'm filled with the knowledge of his will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding,
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respects.
I bear fruit in every good work.
And I increase in the knowledge of God. Say, the word of God is coming forth.
And I have understanding.
And I have wisdom.
And I have clarity.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I just need to emphasize something. If you're a child of God here, say amen.
Amen.
If you have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
If that's the case, no evil shall befall you.
Amen.
Say like you believe it too.
Amen.
No evil befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because of the power of the redemption that you have in Christ Jesus, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Listen, don't be afraid. The Bible says, never fear ye their fears. Are you getting my point? If you read any news, just rejoice. You just say, it is literally say it. That is not my portion. You declare it loud, redemption is my portion. You must understand this. Death is not an accident. Those things you see, they are the spirits of affliction, and God hasn't sent it to you. Are you getting my point? One of the things the devil tries to do is to scare you. When he scares you, you open your heart for him. And he wants to jump in through that level. And what if you allow fear, fear is very powerful. Shall I prove it to you? I'm sure you know it, but it's good to prove it. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciple almost drowned. You know the story? Yes, Peter. He had the word of God. What was the word of God? Come. And that word caused him to float on water. Then CNN began to broadcast. This day started releasing their press releases. The president declared state of emergency over a particular virus. And the man focused on the news. When he focused on the news, in his own case, it was the waves. It was the wind. When he focused on the news, fearing, what happened? He began to sink. You must not let fear come into your heart. If you woke up early morning yesterday to bathe in salt, I forgive you on God's behalf. Yes, as a child of God, I forgive you. I hereby release you from that, your sin. If you drank mistakenly, I know your heart, you are repentant. So I'm telling you on God's behalf, you are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven you. Daughter, your sins are forgiven you. You will not be afflicted in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I was trying to explain something. So when we open our hearts to fear, fear opens a door. It literally opens a door. I say all the time, anytime you hear news, you must respond. Check the scriptures. What did the Bible say? That's your first response. Too much discussion of Ebola virus. You'll be discussing Psalm 91. Yes, constantly discuss Psalm 91. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Discuss that one all the time. Focus on it. Read it until you can read it backwards. You get my point? Know it by heart. For every time you somebody sends you a WhatsApp message, reply the people. Reply the person. When they say that, bait with salt, tell the person, I have baited with the word, don't worry. Tell the person, I have been washed by the blood. I am safe from the indignation. Tell the person, listen, in Egypt, God sent calamity into Egypt. But, for his people. In fact, I was reading Albi time, he said that Psalm 91 was a psalm of Moses that he wrote during the plagues in Egypt. And that was why he said, no evil shall befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling. I called a friend of mine yesterday night. He lives in Lagos, and he's a doctor in one of the hospitals. I said, hey, how are you handling this crisis? He said, we have drawn a bloodline. That was his answer. I said, my brother, we have drawn a bloodline. We have told that virus thus far and no further. We went ahead to discuss, and he explained that they had to start praying. He said, because he understands the infrastructure in Nigeria, that we cannot handle that kind of calamity. So they began to intercede for the land. Say, God, no. Even though we know we sinned, use another method to... You understand my point? Yeah, he began to intercede for the land. That's the right spirit. Imagine if I call somebody and say, my brother, I don't know what people will go do. People will go move, come and no go meanwhile. It wouldn't even encourage me as a person. But the answer he gave me is that, I said, how are you handling the crisis? He said, my brother, we have drawn a bloodline. We have told the plague, mind yourself. That's how Christians are supposed to respond. Not fearing the fears of people. Listen, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
For everyone that you dearly love, God will show them mercy because of you.
Amen.
The same way God remembered Lot because of Abraham, he will remember your people because of you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare upon you that you are a citizen, spiritually speaking now, of Goshen. I'm speaking now about the Goshen that was in Egypt, where the children of Israel dwelt, and the plagues of Egypt could not cross in to meet them. The noisome pestilence will not come near your dwelling in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are delivered from all evil in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, death is a spirit, it's not a virus. Death is a spirit. He goes around looking for whom he may devour. Once God says go that way, start looking for whom he can devour. And that is why he talks to people. Can I kill you? Can I kill you? Most people say, hey, why you won't kill me now? Say, you look nice to kill. No, I no go sweet, so you no go fit chop my flesh. Okay, let me try first. Then he bites the person and starts shivering. It's ordinary malaria. Say, I think I have been afflicted. Devil say, calls the other people. This guy is a good candidate for demolition. When he comes, says, can I kill you? You say, no. You say, why? He say, because I have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The guy will go to your neighbor's house. He's going around seeking whom he might what? Devour. Listen, I'm trying to balance these things. For you, Christians, the judgment of God is not upon you. You know, the judgment of God was not upon Israel. You know that? In Egypt. But imagine that some people say, let's sacrifice in our life. We are not staying in Goshen. We are going to Jerry. Near Pharaoh's house. You understand my point? Yes, I like the government area. So you go near the princes of Egypt. You build your tabernacle near Pharaoh. So the land here is good. God said, if you want to escape the plague, what do? Run to where? Goshen. When the hottest of the plagues was going to arrive, sacrifice an animal. He said, no. This is ceramic tiles I imported from Italy. I don't want any blood stain on it. Just put it down here. You know, human beings behave funny. Believe me, there were Jews that were living near Pharaoh's palace. They came and told us, okay, even if you won't move to Goshen, please paint your doors. They say, no. You can see it's white. It's white plaster. If you put blood on it now, it may not be able to wash off. All right, let's just put it near the dusty down there, you know. Say, but Moses said that we should paint, you know, the lintels, you know, and then the posts. That we can't put it on the threshold. No. Say, will Moses see it? You don't know human beings. There were people who did that. And that night, the angel of death entered into their lives, into their homes, and killed somebody there. What am I going to say? We have to be careful that even though we are the redeemed of the Lord, are you getting my point? We still obey the words of God. We obey the instructions. One of them is don't fear their fear. Declare loudly, what I tell you in secret, shout it from the rooftop. In the name of Jesus, I am safe. In the name of Jesus, no evil will befall me. In the name of Jesus, no plague will come near my dwelling. In the name of Jesus, I have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, this spirit of death cannot touch me. When you do that, and then you cry for mercy upon the land, that spirit will turn around and go away. Are you getting my point? Why? Because you have drawn mercy from God. You can't draw mercy from God if you are the one that is fearful. That is how we apply sacrifice today. Are you getting my point? You know, when David sacrificed that thing, the angel had to leave. The slaughtering came to an end. And I'm saying we also have to constantly offer our sacrifices. We keep on declaring the word of God and asking for his mercy upon the land. Very important. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's continue our message, all right? I've been trying to get into it, but I guess the Lord wanted to get that one out. When you get home, bless somebody. Are you getting my point? Yes. Don't just keep quiet. You know, that's one thing Christians we must do. We must talk. When you get home, everybody, they shake. Tell your parents. Tell everybody inside your house. Say, hey, I'm just coming from where I went to hear the word. And I was told to tell this house, peace be upon this house. Therefore, everybody staying in here, relax. You are okay. God delivered a whole shipload of human beings because of one person. Remember the story? Paul, Acts about 27. There were many criminals there, you know that. Many criminals. But I'm sure Paul just looked and said, ah, God, have mercy. Because, all right, you know what we're going to do? We'll just destroy the ship. Why? If they are listening to Paul, they would not have lost anything. So God still shows them some mercy. Oh, God is good, though. I said God is good, though. Let me get into our message. All right. So we have been talking about the seven names of God. And let me emphasize this to us again. When we're talking about the seven names of God, we're not counting the names 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We are saying the names of God are innumerable.
we are saying that the names of God, all right, we discover a new name for God as we discover his character. God's name is a description of his character, is a description of his glory, is a description of his disposition towards you and towards me. That's the name of God. It's not just that we say his name is El Shaddai. That is true, that is his name. But El Shaddai is the Hebrew for a name that you and I can understand. We can easily call him the all-sufficient God. Alright? And it's something we learn from studying the scriptures and which we apply, and then we have experiences to back that up. Last time I emphasized the fact that we must remember to acknowledge God for everything in our lives, no matter how simple the thing is. Alright? Maybe somebody, you're feverish, and somebody says, take a tablet for malaria. It gets cured, you get cured. In the first look, I say, man, this medicine is powerful. That's a mistake. What did I say? It's a mistake. The medicine is not powerful. God is what? Merciful. It is not the medicine that is powerful. It is God that is what? Merciful. I think something which also we discussed last time, let me just review that very importantly for a few minutes. And that the third commandment that God gave the people of Israel was that they should not take the name of the Lord their God for a vain thing. You read many translations, it says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I read the Young's literal translation, and it specifically said, do not take the name of the Lord, that used the word Jehovah there, but it was talking about Yahweh, you know what we're talking about. Just say the Lord, all right? It said, don't take the name of the Lord for a vain thing. And when I studied, I realized that that was actually the major, because there were three commandments, all right? One, he said, thou shalt have no other God, all right, before me. So, as long as you are my people, you cannot have any other God. All right, so the people agreed, okay, that all right, we'll have only this God, this Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever name you want to call him, as our God. And that's a number two, be careful. Even though you don't have another God, don't claim that you saw me in when Moses came to the mountain and you carve an image of me. Or I sent an angel to you, you carve an image of him so as to represent me. That was number two commandment. Number three commandment is, okay, we're not going to do that. We will not have any other God. We will not carve anything. But what if iroko tree grows naturally and the iroko tree has the features of God? We'll now go to the iroko tree and say, this is Jehovah. Are you getting my point? Because they don't do that. That was commandment number three. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God and apply that name to a vain thing. That was the commandment. So God may bless you from the cypress tree. Don't ever call that tree God. God may bless you. You know, may see rain falling from heaven. Don't ever call rain God. Are you getting my point? God may bless you, and he, of course, you know, everything we have on this earth, every single thing you have on this earth is tied to the sun. Yeah. That's a matter of fact. Go and think about it. Let's take energy as an example. You know, okay, let's start from food. How does food grow? There's what they call photo what? Synthesis. You have to sun synthesize. The sun, the energy comes from the sun. The energy with which I'm moving my hands right now actually came from the sun. Because if you know enough chemistry and physics, the energy from there was packaged using rearrangement of molecules. So when I eat the molecules in starch or whatever it is, I digest it and release that same energy in my muscles to be able to move my hand. It comes from the sun. You talk about wind energy. The only reason why the wind can blow things is because the sun heats up parts of the earth. So while that part is heated up, air starts rising and creating a lower pressure, so the other one starts displacing towards that side, and you call it wind. The sun is very powerful. That was why in Egypt, they worshipped the sun. Are you getting my point? God said, all right, no matter how much you understand how powerful the sun is, don't ever call the sun by my name. You must not apply the name of the Lord your God to a vain thing. So the sun blesses you. The sun is just an extension of my power. You don't call that sun by my name. That was the third commandment. And that was the one I was saying that Aaron broke when he made a calf and said to them, behold your God that brought you out of Egypt. I was reading a commentary, and it said that calf was made, which was one of the problems. They took an image they learned in Egypt.
They called it, I think, Addis or something. They formed an image after that one and said, we cannot call it Addis. We cannot call it the names of the Egyptian gods. Why? We cannot have another god. So this image you have made, let us call it by the name of the God of heaven. So Aaron said to them, behold your God that brought you out of Egypt. And that was a breaking of that commandment. And I'm saying to us again, as Christians, as children of God, we have to be careful that we acknowledge our God at all times, with our words, with our actions. Even though he uses people, we never ascribe the name Father to anybody. Are you getting my point? You walk in a place, there are people that they are trembling. You know, when they hear rationalization, they want to sack people. People will begin pray, tremble, start sowing seed against sacking. You hear that a bank, let's take a bank like, you know, there was consolidation of some banks at that time. So, some banks, previously big banks, were swallowed by banks that were smaller than them. It was a real Egyptian story. Are you getting my point? Some lean cattle swallowed up big cattle. So people, of course, you know the way it is. They shaved off more than half of their workforce. A lot of people, before that comes up, they start trembling. What will happen to us? If we get sacked now, where do we go job? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we pay children's school fees? Let me say to you, you don't know how we disobey God every day. If that kind of thought runs through your head and you allow it to stay, because it's okay for it to come in, as long as it does not stay. Once it comes in, you quickly open the second door. I say, oh boy, pass. Come out this way. And listen, there's nothing wrong with funny thoughts entering your head. Like somebody said, it's like birds flying. You can't say they shouldn't fly over your head. How are you going to do that? He said, but you can surely ensure they don't build a nest on your head. In the same manner, you go to work, everybody say they are sacking people, PAC, and PAC has now become EEDC. After EEDC formation, then they start sacking people. They become afraid. Listen, let me tell you something there. Your job is not God. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And what I see all the time, you know, my wife was telling me something today, that two of her customers, they've been laid off from where they were working. Very nice jobs they had. And I say, I said, what is a need? I said, pray for them because they need to get a better job. I said, but as for you and your business, you can only grow richer. You will not become poorer. I just made that statement without thinking. Yes. And that's Christian mentality. That is what? That's a Christian's mentality. I cannot give my job the name of God. If you decide to wipe out the whole offices, all right, where I'm working, you announce it to me ahead of time. I simply say, this is not God. It's because people think that job is God. That's why they're afraid to lose it. Let thoughts come through your head. Tell the thoughts something. Say, listen, yeah, they have bought this company. They are going to sack everybody. Say, number one, my name is not everybody. That's number one. Well, peradventure, God says, this has come to an end. The Bible says he takes away the first to establish the second. It is God. My life is in his hands. My life is not dictated by the whims of the CBN governor or by the privatization of a power company. No. And this is very important. If you don't utter these words, you see, you often will lose battle. People will be trying to help you. What are you going to do now? I don't know. Hey, and you have bank loan, don't you? Hey, my sister, and so. Hey, if you had gotten that Wonder Visa lottery before they stopped Nigerians from participating, she for better. Say, Naso, I say, and too. And in your mind, you are thinking that, listen, this person is saying, I don't agree. Listen, is the one. He said, don't say in the presence of the messenger there is an error. Don't open your mouth and talk nonsense. Tell the person the truth. That is where you are fighting. All those things you hear, those are the things I call the echoes of accusation. As soon as they start doing that talking, you talk back. Say, they are laying people off. Say, that's their business. Even though the fig tree does not blossom, what's my business? I will still rejoice in the Lord. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. I will walk upon my high places. He said, what does that mean? Okay, let me say it to you in English. You tell the person. Let me now say it in English, the language you understand. Now, one, there's a scripture that says God sometimes takes away the first so that he might establish the second. You tell the person that sometimes this job we are doing is nothing but Mount Seir, which we have been going round and round and round and round and just circling this mountain. Maybe it is time to go northward. You tell the person simply, you know, the Bible says the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. So, you see, if I live here, I can only shine brighter. It will not happen that I will go down. So you are not afraid. What is there to be afraid of? This company is not God. This was an arm of God for the season. This season may have come to an end. We are moving to another season. Tell the person, I wasn't planning to die here. Do I own the place? You know what they generally tell you? Ah, thank God for you. I like your faith. That is what people always tell you. Thank God for you. I like your faith. Listen, we must not give the name of our God to a vain thing. No matter how well pleased you are, no matter how well paid you are in that beautiful company where you are working, you must never apply the name of God to that company. No matter how, even if God spoke to you, my son, my daughter, you shall go to this particular beautiful company and work there. That is not an eternal word. It's a word for a season. Are you getting my point? And he can still take away that first to establish a second. And I want Christians to always set their eyes on glorious things. It is better to be a giver than to be a receiver. True of us. So it is better to pay salaries than to take salaries. If you believe that, say amen. It is. That's the kind of thing, you know, you put your mind on that. Whatever you do in life, have a giving mentality. You don't look at a company and say, this one is God. And sometimes people don't use the name God directly. Of course, we are careful. We don't use the name God directly. This is how we pay our fees. Oh. This is where money comes from. Once you keep saying it like that, what you are doing is that you are applying the name of the Lord to a vain thing. Very important. People are quarreling over, why is America not giving us Ebola vaccine? Ebola medicine. They are not God, amen?
Amen.
They are not. God in heaven, when we cry to him, the thing will just evaporate. Phew. Just disappear. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. The name of God, remember what we said? It is those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. They are the ones that will be saved. It is not those who know that there is a God. It's not those who claim that they are Christians. It is those who call upon the name. And what does it mean to call upon the name? It doesn't just mean to say, God help me. See, let me say something there. God is good. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
God is also faithful. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
There's one scripture I read in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom was speaking. He said, I'm calling now, but people are not answering. He said, then one day will come. They will call upon me, I will not answer. There's a reason why I'm saying that. Sometimes people cry to God and say, God help me. And I say, why is God not answering? God says, it is simply because when you say God, I don't know who you are talking about. Why? All your life, you have used the name God for somebody else. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, you know, I always like to give this example because it's so practical for those of us who live in this country. From the time you were in school, you are declared that the Nigerian economy is bad, therefore there's no hope. So they say, where is hope? He said, hope is abroad. So the day you say, God help me. What I heard was, abroad help me. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. So you see, it is not just that last moment when people claim to be shouting the name of God. It is who you have been calling God all the while. And remember, God is not just the word, G-O-D. It is the source of life. Who is my helper? And that's actually what I want to talk about today. I just want to talk about God. Are you getting my point? Let's just talk about him so that people would understand. It is who you have been calling God that you actually are shouting to at those moments. And that's why sometimes it appears as if he doesn't hear. And one of the ways you know is when people, you know, I said something at the beginning. Actually, that's where I started from. And I remember what took me in one particular direction. As if people sin against God, but they are afraid of the devil. And I said at the beginning. People sin against God, but they are afraid of the devil. What do I mean? They know the word of God, but they will disobey his word to please a human boss. Now, it is the person you obey that's actually your God. Yeah, that's not supposed to be a joke. I mean it like that. So if you habitually disobey the word of God to please a human being, the day you shout, God help me, God will tap that fellow and say, they are calling you. Somebody is shouting your name down. Maybe the fellow is in trouble. He's in Osun State, you know, right now. He's in trouble. But the man, he has been breaking the word of God to please every time. He's in Enugu. So God goes to the fellow and says, in case you can't hear, they are calling you. You know, there was a time the prophets of Baal were shouting. Elijah said, maybe he traveled. So he can't hear. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That's why it's important. That's why I'm talking about the names of God. It is how you describe God in everyday life before the time of crisis, actually. That's the person you can call upon in the time of crisis. There's something I give as an example all the time. You know, one of the things that saddens me in Christianity, in fact, you know, I've said this to you before, that one of the major problems we have in a country like ours, in fact, not one of the major problems we have, is that the church behaves like it has lost its servant. God cannot judge corruption in PDP or in federal government if Christians still lie with his word so as to collect money. That is a worse corruption than the one government people are doing. If I, as a preacher, I stand here and I say, God spoke to me that the first 20 people that will give 50,000 naira, there's a special breakthrough coming. If God wants to judge a man who chopped 1 billion in Abuja, in the courts of heaven, the person will ask God, say, that pastor in that Enugu, you have not done him anything. What are you trying to do to me? Because he has chopped more money. He has done more terribly. That's a matter of fact. All right? Please, I'm going somewhere. So I keep on saying that the major problem in a country like ours today is that the church doesn't behave like it has some salt. I won't go into details about that, but just bear that in mind. I'm going somewhere. I'm talking about the person you obey being your God. That's the person you call in the day of trouble. One of the things that saddens me, I was saying, is when you see Christians behave as if they are unbelievers. You know, somebody asked me the other day. He said that, what do you have to say about, just as an example, what do you have to say about the sex of children? That is, whether you have boys or girls or any of those. And I said, listen to this, though. This is where I'm going. I said simply, you can like a big car, you know that. You can like a sports car. I don't like sports cars. In case God is speaking to you to buy me a car, don't buy a sports car. I don't like them. It's just me. Nothing wrong with it too. But I find it funny when you want to drive, you lie down. Yeah, sports cars, that's the way they are. You have to recline to get the full effect. That's how they are designed. That's so that you don't topple over when you are speeding. So no matter how much money I have, I will not buy a Ferrari. Yeah, nothing wrong with it. But if I had plenty of money, I could buy a Bentley, which costs as much as a Ferrari. But when you stand beside it, it's almost your height. And it's a car. I could buy a Rolls Royce. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is the fact that you can like one thing and somebody likes another. In the same manner, you can like a boy and somebody else likes a girl. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe all your life, maybe you're a boxer. So you want to train your son in how to box. So you want your wife just born boy, so that me and the boy can be going to the gym. And for silly things like that, I know the interesting thing, God likes that kind of thing. It's okay, give him two wicked boys. You know that kind of thing. That is not a big deal for him. So I said to the person, I said, listen, this is where I have an issue. If I, there was one man I told you about it before, about him. I gave a story about him on Tuesday. He was the first one to share this when we were young. He said if you come to him, and he used to do this, when women will come to him, because it's an African setting, all right? They will come to him and say that they are, of course, they've had two or three girls, the family people are making trouble, they want a boy so as to silence all the enemies, you know, that kind of thing. He used to do something, that man of God. He will pray for you. And believe me, in 10 months, maybe maximum 11, you are going to have a baby and it's going to be a boy. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. But guess what? He will never pray for you if you're a believer. He only prays for unbelievers. When he said, I was young when I first said it, I said, what? That if you're an unbeliever, no problem. I said, come, sit down there. He will share the word of God with you. You will kneel down, whether you come alone or come with your husband, don't worry. He will lay hands on you, believe me. 9 to 11 months, you are going to have a baby and it's going to be a boy and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But the only problem is that if you come in and say, good afternoon, brother, this, say, okay, how are you, sister, this, yeah, you're a Christian, and you pray that kind of prayer, he will drive you out with a kid. His logic, he says he only does that to demonstrate the power of God to the world. He said, but if you're a Christian, he thinks you should have enough sense to know that there is no male or female in Christ Jesus. He thinks you should have enough sense to know that whether it is a boy or a girl, they are the same thing. And if you don't have that sense, it's your problem, not his own. He's not going to join your folly. He said that when I was a young child, and of course, I didn't understand it. But much later, I grew up. I'm going somewhere when the church is not the church. So I was telling that person to ask me the question. I said, listen, that's my opinion today. That do I want a boy, do I want a girl? I said, listen, just as I like it. I said, but if my motivation is because, you know, then when my wife had a kilut, I said, how are you? You deliver? Okay, what do you have? It's a boy. They say, oh, full current. Have you heard that thing before? So my wife said, which one is half current? Listen, these are expressions you must never hear from the mouth of Christians. Please. I'm talking about Christians. So I told the people, and you've heard me, some of you have heard me say before, I said, my wife can testify to that. I said, listen, that we are Christians, we set the standard for the world. My village people cannot tell me whether I should have a boy or have a girl. So what if your father was a chief? That's his problem. Do I look like a chief? In case you do not know, I'm a king and a priest in Christ Jesus. I have the highest title that I will ever want on this earth. I boast in nothing other than that which God has made me in Christ Jesus. No, that's my attitude. They say that, maybe you are going to inherit a chieftaincy title from your father. Listen, in fact, God knows that those chieftaincy titles that come with sacrificing and, joining some special societies, they are not going to take before. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, that's what I'm trying to explain. So, I tell that story to bring out an issue here. That you see, I just wanted to explain that because it used as an illustration because somebody asked me about it recently. And I said, listen, as Christians, we have to be Christians. I'm going somewhere. Some people, till now, when they want to pray about marriage, the rules they still use is still the one drawn down from their village tradition. And that's what I'm talking about. That is what is called taking the name of God and applying to a vain village tradition, because your God is a person that you obey. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's why I said, look, should I have a boy or have a girl? Well, it means it's not like, it's like, okay, you like a Ferrari, I like a Bentley. Both of them are expensive. One is big, tall, doesn't run too fast. One is very short, flies like lightning. You like it, I don't like it. In the same manner, somebody may like a boy more than a girl, somebody may like a girl more than a boy. In fact, these days, I hear say, men don't they check and say, you can have boys, but you must have at least one or two girls, because they are the only ones that will let you in to their homes. You've heard the joke before. So, whatever be your reason, but please, people say, this is Africa. Listen, this outside may be Africa. Are you getting my point? But my heart is the kingdom of God. My home is the kingdom of heaven. Around may look like Africa. And I am not having children for Africa. I'm training the people that God is sending into my home. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is what Christianity is about. In the same manner, you are giving the name of God to a vain thing. When it's time to choose marriage, people say, my mother does not like people from that area. Your mother is not God. Your mother is just a senior sister in Christ Jesus. She's a believer. No, that's what it is. And I keep on saying to people, it is early you start educating them on this. You know the reason why I'm saying these things? Many times later in life, people start having marriage problems. They start calling on God and it does not answer. That's where I'm going. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But if people now start coming and calling upon the name of God, and God is, are you talking to me? I can call your Igwe for you. Maybe that's the person you're talking to. He said, God, you will help me. You will help me. You see my tears. God said, there was a time. Wait, the girl, come, come. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Are you talking to me? I should go and call the council of elders in your family. Because when you wanted to make decisions, you understood the word of God totally. But you deliberately looked at that word, disobeyed it with clear eyes. There was no deception. So I've therefore told you, go back to those people and go and ask them that you obeyed to come and solve your problems. You cannot obey somebody else in life and hand over your problems for me to solve. Now the man will send you on errand. Now you get all the troubles on that errand. You know, when I'm talking about this name of God thing, people don't realize. Many, you see, if you know the way God judges us Christians, you are waiting to go to a shrine and say, what's the name of Amadioha? Yes. Bow to Amadioha. Is that Amadioha? Is it only in home view they have Amadioha? Is it in real life? They have in real life? Good. So we look at those who are bowing to Amadioha as their idol worshippers. And they are. They are. I'm not saying they are not. But I've not preached to, I'm not in the Kija shrine here, am I? No. This is a gathering of believers. So, I'm talking to them. What is idolatry for Christians? Remember, Aaron pointed to a calf and said, behold your God that brought you out of Egypt. He put a calf down. And this is what idolatry is for Christians. It is when we start obeying traditions, obeying rules and regulations that are diametrically opposed to the will of God. And I'm saying that is the reason why this faithful God, this good God, this dependable God doesn't seem to want to answer. That is the reason. So now when I hear Christians talk, I look, if one day a sister was talking with me, I sat her down and I said, listen, I don't care what you want have to say, repent of that statement. I said, repent of that statement. Let me give an example now. Assuming I tell you that now, I'm already married. Are you getting my point? I married almost 15 years ago, okay? So if I tell you now, I can't marry somebody from, okay, I'm leaving Enugu as an example, from Enugu. It's not a big deal, you think. Why? You married 15 years, who's planning to marry you anyway? You know that kind of thing. We know you have already married. But that statement is still a sin. That's what I want to emphasize. For a believer, it is still a sin. Even though I'm already married, I'm not looking for another wife. If I look for another wife, I won't see you here next Saturday. He will disappear somewhere else. That man is backsliding. Even though you know I am not looking for a wife, yet, if I make that statement, it is a sin. Because you must be careful, you know, especially if you're a preacher. All right? It's not just what you do, it's what you make other people do. That's how life is. Jeroboam did not only die for his sins. He died for the sin that he committed and the one he made Israel commit. Those are the ways by which, all right, we worship other gods. You are sitting down. I don't know why I went into this today. I'm sure. Did you block that door? Whoever it is not going. I will finish you today. When I finish with you, you will repent in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And when you have repented, you will be blessed mightily. This wife, this husband you think is hard to find, there are plenty. It is just because God said, this one, I will never let you find him or her until I've rearranged this your brain. Otherwise, you will spoil a lot of things in the body of Christ. So he sent you to me and me to you. Yes, you know, you came up here this evening and I was ready. I didn't think of you before. By the way, I don't know who you are. But when I start talking like this, I know I've caught one or two people. I know. Some of you, it is your financial breakthrough you are receiving from this word. I'm talking of marriage, but financial breakthrough is what you will get next week. I'm telling you. Some people have been looking for work. God said, you know why you have not gotten work? Every time you see that, after using one bottle of Gouda, you start talking nonsense. And that nonsense is the reason why you have not had breakthrough. What is the nonsense? You start saying that, no, me, I can never marry a woman whose parents are separated. And you're a Christian. You've forgotten that if any man, any woman is in Christ, the person is a new creature. Every day you open your mouth, you are insulting the blood of Jesus. You are saying to that blood, you are not powerful. What can you do? You can't even heal the experience of a broken home. What can you do? That's what you say every day. That is what you say every day. And that is why you don't realize that faith is all-encompassing. In that area, you are talking nonsense. Meanwhile, in another area, that faith is preventing you, that lack of faith is preventing you from breaking through. You are giving counsel to people. You know, sometimes you're already married, so you think, no, I mean, my own, but when you are counseling people. You say, what? What happened? The father beat the mother. That's why they separated. Hey, my brother or my sister, such men, usually they've inherited the traits of their father. He's going to beat you one day, and you are going to separate also. So, sir, what do you think I should do? Ah, don't worry. You will hurt for a month or two. But you'll be okay. So what should I do? Ah, I didn't say you should do anything, no. I'm just leaving you to do anything you like. But a word is enough for the wise. Yeah. And like they say in my part of the world, they say, when we tell a responsible child half his sentence, when it gets inside him, it becomes a complete sentence. I've not said anything, no, but a word is enough for the wise. Your name is Jeroboam. You are causing people to sin. You must learn how to give divine counsel. You must learn how to give divine counsel. I like to use this as an illustration all the time. When my younger brother wanted to get married, and he wanted to marry a young woman he met in Enugu here, and she's from Imo State, and my brother happens to be from the same place as me. So my mother said to me one day, let us talk. So we sat down. This was, in fact, we just finished my dad's funeral like 2 days before, you know, still hanging around the home. So that they just said, let us talk. So we sat down. I think I suspected I knew where the gist was going. He said, yeah, I just wanted to ask. I'm not saying anything, though. It is just that, you know, when people are saying, your auntie said, you know, those kind of things. Like I always say, by the way, I want to drop something. Anytime your mother-in-law is telling you something that your wife or your husband can't tell you, don't, should I finish saying it? And one time I said it like 3 times. And she's still saying it. She's not the one saying it. It's your wife or husband saying it. Think about it. If your mother-in-law comes and says that, you have not yet given my son a child, though, and you have 3 girls already. And he said the 1st year, 2nd year, 3rd year. And she's still saying it. Tell your husband, honey, you are the one saying this thing. Because if he wasn't saying it in his heart, he would have shut his mother up by then. Please, I'm not saying you should go and quarrel. I just wanted you to know. If it's not you, I'm telling your husband. What I'm saying is that, you know, I digress into that, so trying to say something. No, in fact, don't worry. No, I should write a book on how to handle in-laws. God gave me grace on that one. I don't have in-law or halal. My mother-in-law is not a trouble to me. My mother is not a trouble to my wife. You know why? It's because they are nice people. I really don't know. I don't care. Just that I made sure from the beginning with grace and truth that it will not happen. Just by the way, what am I saying? Anybody come here with marriage wahala today? Hey, okay, let's just keep preaching. I hope you are being helped. One, my mother has never heard me complain about my wife. Never. Not once. Not one day. Not one day. Not one day. My brother, none of my sisters have ever heard me complain one day about my wife. If I have to complain about my wife, I tell my friends. One day I called my friend Chooks. I said, Chooks, I'm about to beat somebody. I said, let me just tell you ahead. So that you will not say, black, he calls me black. Black, when did you start this one? You know? So like, but I will never call my mother and tell her that. Never call any of my sisters or my dad in his days or my brother and tell him that. Never. And I was so vexed. Oh, by the way, Chooks lives in America. It was the one I told. Chooks, I'm about to beat somebody. By the time you open your mouth, your husband offends you. It is your mother you are telling. You are the one begging for in-law trouble. It's like I say, in-law trouble. You are afflicting everybody else. Why not me? Are you discriminating? Scatter my home too now. The spirit says, sorry, I've been busy. Thank you. Don't worry. Cook my food. I'm coming. You pick phone. Your spouse offends you. It is your mother you are telling. Please grow up. God has helped me not to use bad words. But they should beat you. Somebody should flog you. I don't know what else to say. Somebody should flog you. You should be flogged. I'm serious. They should flog you very well. And the same way, whether it's husband or wife, once you are complaining about your spouse to your people, you are the one begging for trouble. That is why they will enter your house. This is my brother's house. You know, some kind of insult. You know, that's why men don't prosper. Go and read the scriptures. I was reading the other day. Ken Hagin was preaching a message. There was prayer for one man. Pray for one man. God said, stop praying. He said, why not? He said, God said to him, the man has stopped his own prayer. He has cut off his prayer. He said, why? He read it from the scriptures. That deal gently with your wives because they are a weaker sex. He said, lest your prayers be hindered. He said, God told him that man, I don't hear his prayer again. The way he's dealing with his wife, there's nothing he says I listen to. I think the man was very sick. So don't simply, the man is going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. And the man died. What was the cause of death? He did not treat his wife like a joint heir with Christ. Listen, Christianity is not a joke. You are not a village man if you are a Christian. No, Christians behave sometimes as if they did they grow grass on the streets of heaven. You know, they got grass. I don't mean amaranthos, I mean cannabis. Yes, the way some Christians behave. You think God grows grass in pots of gold in heaven? Say, oh, have you come to medicate? God is not American, no. God does not serve Indian hemp. Say, my children, That praise was good, so it blows incense on your faces. And you hail it. Not God. That is how Christians behave. No, we behave like that. In our place, a woman can't be sitting down when a man is standing. And you're a Christian. Shame, shame. Shame on you. But then on God's behalf, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I wipe the shame off your face. Whereby open the doors of your prayer because you are repentant right now. Yes. The man says that. You see this way some men talk. They talk as if women are a second class group of human beings. Yes, Africans, yes, it's okay. But we Christians, not at all. Not at all. Once I went somewhere, a lady was, it was raining. She was looking for where to sit. I was about to jump up from my seat to give her my seat because she's my wife's friend. But then I realized that I was talking with her husband. I don't know, you understand what I'm saying? The husband was sitting in front of me. So I was fidgeting. I felt like I said, Oga, your wife is looking for where to sit. I was fidgeting. I wanted to get up. Like, madam, come and sit here. But I said, it's funny. Your husband is sitting down here. Why should I be treating you? You know, why should I nourish and cherish you? Are you getting my point? Why should I nourish and cherish you when your husband is sitting down there? Because I knew if it was me. In fact, my wife just come. Husband. I said, what? I can't find where to sit. She knows. I'll just get up nicely. Sit. Let me go and look for another chair. And I'm not ashamed of it. If I was ashamed, would I be telling you? I like it. I'm proud of it. I'm an obedient child of God. I obey the word of God. The word says that I should nourish and cherish my wife. I should understand that she's physically a weaker person. So I should take the beating. I should make things should be rough for me first. And I used to take pride in it. Those that say, if I'm going somewhere, my wife and I go shopping, if there are bags, my two hands must be full before one of her hands will do anything. Why? I said it's pride. I'm being a child of God. I should not. That's why God will answer my prayer. It's in the Bible like that. I say, God, you see the way I'm treating my wife? You will treat me like that now. Oh, the Lord is good. I know why I digress into that. I know the point where I was. So don't think I've lost my way. I know. You know, after you've done this job for a long time, you will know all the problems in the job. I know the problems of preaching now. You all miss road. So I've learned how to put road marks when I'm about to go off tangent. So let me show you that I knew where I was. I was telling you about my mother. Can you remember?
Yes.
See? I told you I knew where I was. So that day, as I was talking, so my wife, my mother, after she finished talking, she just asking questions. So why I went into all of that is that a lot of them people are asking, your auntie said, you know, people are wondering, is a lie. Yeah, also the person is wondering. But knowing that you're a tough guy, you have to pretend like it's somebody else that is wondering. So I just said to her simply, and that's what I'm teaching you. I said to her simply, I said, Mommy, we're either Christians or we are not. That was the end of the gist. I said, is that all? Let those who want to wonder continue to wonder. We're either Christians or we are not. Some people are still allowing the anger that their father had because of a war that ended in 1969 or 70. 1970. Their father is still angry till today. And they've closed doors for husband and wife for their children. Hey, where is he from? Lai, the commander of the Scorpion Squad. It's from that area. Hey. Listen, we're either Christians or we are not. When we are Christians, we obey the word of God. All things pass away. Everything becomes new. We cannot habitually be disobeying the word of God and intend to call upon him in the time of trouble. He won't know who we are talking to. That's why I went into that. Our God is to be obeyed. He is God to you whom you obey. That's what I'm talking about. He is is God to you whom you obey. It's when you have habitually called on the proper God that you can call upon him in the time of trouble. I can confidently, I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm bragging on the word of God. But I can confidently say to God, concerning my wife, this is the woman you gave me. I'm not joking. I'm not saying that I'll do like Adam will say, now make me disobey you. What I mean is that if I have to talk to him about something, yes, why did I marry her? It was your idea. You carried me to where I met her. You opened my eye. I know I'm saying so. I did not obey any other rule that I'm aware of. That's why I wrote in my book that somebody said, did God speak to you concerning the wife you marry? And I said, yes. Say, how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you husband and wife. God didn't speak to you. My son, arise and kill. Kill and eat. No, he didn't say so. Why didn't he say so? It's simple. He has said so in many ways. Are you getting my point? Each step of the way, we obey the truth that has been revealed to us. And we did not disobey any one of those truths that I'm aware of. And since we did not, it is the will of God. And there was a prayer we rounded everything with. I said, God, if it is not your will, make sure it does not happen. And the first day, I became 100% convinced that this indeed was the will of God concerning me, was when they said, I pronounce you husband and wife. Until that time, we just liked the girl. I'm telling you the truth. God does not always come and whisper, my son, don't you like that girl? I'm hereby commanding you, go and marry. Some will even tell you that, you see, God commanded me to marry. I never liked her. I didn't even, listen, sometimes it happens, though, but it's not normal. Yes, it's not normal. It's not normal. It's maybe out of 100 marriages, only one did God have to do that. Yes, most of them, he works in you both to will and to do. The first day you see her, you don't like her. And God will say, this is my will for you. Marry her by force. Listen, there are so many other things for him to be contending with people about. He normally doesn't bother with that. There are easier ways. What does he do? Maybe now they work for the same office. Don't worry. As you have seen each other every day, he's changing something. Before you know what's happening, you are rushing to get to the office. You won't know what's pushing you until one day you get there. Ah, where's Sister Angela? You know that my Angela. Where's Sister Angela? She didn't come to work today. And you are worried. Ah, she didn't come to work. Why? You're picking your phone. Her phone is not available. What happened? Did she travel? Ah, you are calling all her friends. Then finally she shows up. You're his. Yeah, by that time, you don't enter. You get my point? You're his, like, you want to pretend. Actually, it's usually the other way around. It's women that behave like that. It's usually women. I don't like him. Look at his aggressive. Isn't he sharp, too sharp? I don't like a man with that kind of aggressive. Except that one day, the man travels without telling you. And you get to the office. You just check on his own side of the building. He's not around. Check, his car is not there. Okay, you are walking. The whole day, you are checking. You know your friends are already looking at you. They are looking at you. Angie, wait. What is the problem? What do you mean the problem? Is there a problem? You have been looking down. No, I was wondering, where is my... You know what I'm going to say? The Bible says, it is God that is at work within you both to will. So little by little, he's making you what? Will. That's it. But the problem, this is actually where the issue is. A lot of times, what now stands up that will not allow people to obey the will of God is what they call strongholds. Strongholds. One day you go home, he calls you when you're at home. And your mother says, who is that? Oh, it's my friend Philip from the office. Where is he from? You know, mothers always know. First question is, where is he from? He's from Aaron Dizog. Instantly, your mother says, no, my daughter, no, 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 no. Look, I'm a good Christian, you know, I'm a good Christian, but. That is when, listen, that's when you need to start preaching the gospel. Are you getting my point? You start telling your mother, listen, there is no division in Christ Jesus. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. You start declaring it at that point in time. There is those hindrances, those strongholds that prevent people from doing the will of God. Honestly. You don't like somebody the first time, what's the big deal? I told one of my friends in this town, a pastor, married a woman he had never met. They had paid bride price before they saw each other. Yes. Not 80 years ago. The young man, the young woman. But not very young. I mean, but they are like my, you know, the kind of person I'll call my friend. They had never met. Never. I don't mean a joke. They had never met. Yet they had paid bride price before they saw each other. For the very first time. So all this fall in love thing, forget that one. You can learn it. You hear what I said? You can learn it. If I give you a good wife, just marry her, you know, all this. The Lord is good. Look, if I tell you wear a suit, come, just stand there. I tell you, you do take this woman as your level. Just say yes, because I know the love thing doesn't matter. Some people say, Pastor Mark, I don't agree with you. Listen, you will love him. You will love her eventually. You will. No, I'm not joking about that. Go and read your scriptures. Isaac never met Rebecca until they had married her for him. I don't know. All those of you that did this to my message today, all those of you that dragged my message to marriage counseling, don't let the person go. I don't know who it is, but find a way between you and Yinka, identify the people and hold them behind. Because they've just scattered my message. Today I wanted to preach. If you see the scriptures I wrote down today, describing God. In fact, somebody sent me a text message about the name of God. So I brought it. Where is it? You know? Then he called upon the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. So there's a God who sees. I wrote all of them down. O Savior of those who take refuge. That's the name of God. That's what I wanted to talk about today. But you have brought all the marriage matters. Now, even me, I am confused. But I will say the last one. All this one that I don't feel, you know, my stomach is not doing jijiji like this when I see him. It's a lie. What did I say? Go and ask all those Hollywood people. All those Hollywood people that are married today. What's the name of this girl, this backsliding girl? What's her name? Oh. Beyonce, no, those ones, the family is very, very Christian. Demon Shakarian's cousin. Kim Kardashian, yes. Some of you did not know, she's Demon Shakarian's cousin. You'll be surprised. You know, you wonder, say, what allegiance does light have with darkness? You know that kind of thing. Yes, they are cousins. When I found that, I was knocked out. This was the real case of Esau. Have I hated Jacob? Have I loved? How God arranged that? They are cousins. They must share Karen full gospel. And the family of Kim Kardashian. Cousins. It's hard to believe, Abi. Naso Ebio. Christianity is not inherited by who's your father. Each child must give his life to Christ. Anyway. When he married that boy, he married that. He married last 85 days. You know, the heart was doing jiggy jiggy. The wedding lasted 85 days. The marriage, 85 days. So, all this I love, I don't love. It's too many. When you watch too many films, all those things they do in films, it's not true. It's a lie. They have to do in such a manner that it will sell. All these Indian movies of Peche, Bacha, Peche, Peche. It's a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Lasting marriage is not built upon how hot it was at the beginning. No, it's not. Love is something that's your property. It's in your hand. It's like this handkerchief. It's mine. I can put it here. I can remove it. Can put it somewhere else. Yes, it's in the scriptures like that. He said, because he has set his love upon me. So it's my love. I carry it around. I do what I like with it. Other one that just moves, that one will be love. That one, fleshly connection. You know, if you're always watching Miss World, Miss Universe, Miss Nigeria, all the girls that look like that, they will shake your stomach. Are you getting my point? That one is not love. Real love is property. It's personal property. I hold it like this. I will look at you, decide you fit the counsel of God for my life, and I take the love and place it on your head. It's like a crown. I wear it on you. That's why you cannot truly love a woman you are not married to. You can't. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can attempt it, though. But you are fooling yourself. Because real love is a commitment. You can't commit to somebody you don't have a covenant with. You smoke something. You can't. You're pretending. You watch too many films. It's not good for you. What I'm saying is not a joke. But once you have married a woman, like my wife now, I have determined to forgive her all the time. There are times, in fact, you know, guys, Chooks, you know now, 70 times 7, you know why Jesus said that. If you have been married for some time, you have to believe some scriptures. That how often should I forgive my brother? Is it 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. When you're a married man, you have to understand that scripture. But it's a commitment you have made. All the days of your life, you will be forgiven 70 times 7. That's what is called love. Love, you know, when I just see you like this, my heart will just be doing chiki chiki ka, chiki chiki cha. Listen. We have to go home. Otherwise, there are many more things to say. All the railway motions of the heart, depends on many things. Sometimes even it depends on the level of your hormone. I'm telling you. It depends on whether you are broke or you have money. As a man, when you get back home like this, pepper just landed. When you see your wife, baby, how far? Ah! Wait, see. Ah, you're looking fine. She's not the one looking fine. It's your pocket. That is... They have blessed you financially. Suddenly the whole world is looking nice to you. You know? But when you are depressed, you know, people are on strike, they don't pay you salary. When you call, honey, how are you? I'm fine. Is there any problem? Do I look like there's a problem? The Lord is good. Look, I have to repreach my message next time because as for today, I don't know what has become of it. Oh, the Lord is good. I hope somebody was helped today. I hope somebody was helped because, honestly, I hope somebody was helped today. Because what I wanted to preach, I didn't preach it at all. Some people came with marriage matters. Don't worry, you will marry in a short while. Maybe you wanted to make decisions. You were thinking of boxing your wife. Don't worry. 70 times 7 in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Forgive, forgive, forgive. It is well in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the grace of God will come upon your home and make it sweet in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let no devil lie to you that she was not the will of God that time. She was the will of God. You just did not know it. Now I am telling you, the challenges of life don't mean that earlier decision was a mistake. Jesus was taken and he was beaten and broken. Doesn't mean his birth was a mistake. Are you getting my point? So don't worry, your husband is the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your wife is the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me, your life will still be sweet in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, forsake natural, village traditions. That's what the problem has been. You have been trying to run your home as if you're a village man. You are not a village man, you are a heaven man. Are you getting my point? You are not a village man, you are a heaven's man. You must obey the word of God. Forget what your cousins think, your age grade. What do they think? They are not going to follow you to heaven. Are you getting my point? It is only you that will stand before the judgment throne of Christ and give an account of what you did with your life. And that's what I'm preaching. As Christians, that is what we obey. We do not take the name of our God and give to age grade. We don't. No. You treat your wife the way God says you treat her. You are not going to treat your wife the way villagers say. You are not going to treat your wife the way your father said. Are you getting my point? You are not going to marry from where your father likes. You are going to marry from where God likes. You get my point? Many people, that's why wife has been hard to find. All you yourself, think about you that I'm talking to. The last three women you liked, God arranged it that all of them didn't come from where your father liked. And that's why your life is upside down like this. You can't even do business properly. I've been losing money because you are very, very... Hey, the word in my mind is that you have become stupid. And it's Holy Spirit inspired word. Why? You are not obeying God. You are disobeying God. You are looking at the word of God and turning it upside down. Your brain doesn't work again. You make a bad investment. The Lord is good.